I invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin reading at verse 7 through verse 29. This is the end of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was speaking to the crowds and he said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So far, the reading of God's Word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are busy people, and we are busy building, imposing superstructures around the shoreline of our lives. We're busy with our career. We're busy making sure our retirement portfolio is in place. We're busy with our bank accounts. We're all busy building people. It's really exciting to be alive at this time. I don't think we should wish for those good old days. As I've said before many times, those good old days are those days just beyond accurate memory. They weren't all that good. Today are the good old days. The Lord has permitted us to do fantastic things which former generations could not even dream of. We can travel. We can accomplish things. We can build. We're busy. And that's good. But while we are building, all of a sudden the Lord comes to us with that question, and He says to all of us now this morning, that imposing superstructure of yours, does it have a good foundation? That career, that future of yours, that degree, that family that you're building, that busy life you're involved in, does it rest on a good foundation, or is it perhaps built on sand? Now, why does the Lord stop us this morning? He sees that we're busy. He sees what we have in our homes. He looks at what kind of lifestyle we have. He knows about us. He knows that we're all busy and we scrape and we work it together and we try to get things going. He sees all of that. Why stop us? Well, because, beloved, He wants to know. You, with your busy life, He wants to know whether that foundation is sound, because He says life is so very fickle. It can change on you so fast. Here you are building, you're a prosperous money manager. You make a little money. And then all of a sudden the economy makes a switch and you find yourself now with less than you started. It can change so fast. Here's a happy family, growing boys and girls, fathers able to provide for that family, mothers able to care in so many different ways. And then all of a sudden, the angel of death enters that home, and there's sorrow, and there's heaviness, and it seems that all the joy is taken out. It can change just that fast. There's that man with all his security. He has a degree. He has a position. And then all of a sudden, there's a cutback. And he finds himself without a profession, without work. And I could go on and on, because you all know these things. You've experienced them. These sudden winds, these blighting winds, these rushing waters that destroy the foundation. God sees us building these beautiful homes along the shores of our life, full of luxury, full of enthusiasm. The one with a degree, another one with a good job, another one with a beautiful family. All of us busy building. And then all of a sudden, the storms come. And the waters come. And if that house is not built on a firm foundation, we are in trouble. And now I come to the heart of the text. A text which is very familiar, but oftentimes not understood. You've often had that with many of the most familiar texts in the Bible. I suppose that even the little children here could sing that song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand." But our text is often misunderstood. What do you mean by sand? House that's built on sand. And of course, we've all got the answer to that. We say, oh, well, that's superficiality. Sand is recklessness. Sand is just simply empty pleasure. You must not build your house. You must not build your life on superficiality. You must not be reckless in your planning. You may not chase after empty pleasure, because all of that is sand. Yes, that's sand. But that's not what the Lord means in our text. When the Lord talks here about sand, do you know what He's talking about? Your happy family. That loving atmosphere in your home. I've been able and privileged to be with many of you in your home. And what a joy it is to be around people that love God and that love each other. A husband who loves his wife, the wife who loves her husband. That harmony in the home, that beautiful home, that exemplary home. sand. That advanced degree that you've been working at so hard, that qualifies you to be in a leading position in society. Sand. That money-making business that you operate, you've got that beautiful work atmosphere of yours, that wonderful bank account that's being built up. Sand. All sand. Things which in themselves are quite beautiful. What is more beautiful than a happy family? What is more beautiful than a happy workplace where employees and employer get along well together? How could that be sand? Well, this is the point of Jesus' words. He says, look at that happy family of yours. Beautiful. It's a gift from God. But if you build your life on that happy family of yours, then I want you to know that it is sand. Because the winds come, the waters come, and the Lord suddenly takes that beautiful child of yours or your husband or your wife away from you, and gone is that beautiful family. And if you build your life on it, it's sand. There's that prosperous business. It's beautiful. But don't bank on it for the future. Don't build your life on it. Don't say, well, my happiness and my joy is all dependent upon how we do with our business. Because, beloved, I have seen in many, many places where that business was thriving and then all of a sudden it took a switch in the economy and it's no more. And the Lord is saying, it's nice to be prosperous, but don't bank on it. And that degree, that position, that leading position, I just read last night that the Supreme Court Justice Scalia died. That happens. And it happens just like that. And if you build your life on your career, if you build your life on what that position is going to get you, you're building on sand. That's what the Lord wants to get across. Whenever we think about sand, we shouldn't just think about superficiality or recklessness or empty pleasure. No. Think about those good things that you have. Your job, your degree, your ambition, your health, your reputation, your marriage. Think about it. Accept it in gratitude, but don't ever let it be the foundation of your life. Because the winds come and the waters are unleashed and the storms come and everything can be taken away from you. Build your house, but don't build it on sand. But, says Jesus, the wise man built his house upon a rock. Well, what is that rock? Well, superficially, I guess we could say that that rock is Jesus. And that would make a nice last part of my sermon. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, we sing, and that's true. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus gives us eternal life. Jesus gives us comfort. That, of course, is all true. Jesus is a rock. But if you look at our text very carefully, then you'll see that Jesus does not point to himself when he talks about building on the rock. Because you see, beloved, even though it's true that Jesus is a rock in a weary land, yet our text says, he who hears the word of God and who does the word of God is like a person who builds his house upon the rock. And what is that word of God? What is so concrete? Did it ever strike you that this familiar passage is the climax to the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus had been preaching, and he was preaching in such a way that everybody could understand it. And that is my prayer as well. The crowds, we read, were amazed They'd never heard preaching like that before because his proclamation came with authority, not like the proclamation of their scribes. And what did Jesus say? Well, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all the other things necessary for life will be yours as well. He said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He said, they are to be congratulated who hunger and thirst after righteousness. To be congratulated are the peacemakers. He said, be salt. Be a light. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. There are two gates and two roads. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to eternal life. That's the message. And he said, now hear that message. And know that message, and don't only hear it and know it, but now perform it. Live out of it. Do it. Live out of that word of God. That is building on a rock. The whole world is building, beloved. We are building. We're all chasing. We're all concerned about our superstructure. The one bigger, a little better, a little more than the rest. But sad to say, many of us do not enjoy ourselves. And why is that? Well, because we're building all that beautiful stuff around the shoreline of our life. We have much. We travel much. But we're not all that happy. Because a lot of people are building on sand. They look on that job. They look at that prestige. They look at that money and that family. And they think that that's it in itself. Jesus said, build upon the rock. That is, take my word as a compass. And don't only listen to that word, but now live out of that word. Perform that word. Do that word of God. And then let the storms come. And they will. Something will happen to your family, to your job. It always does. We have no lasting city here. We look for the one that is to come. No, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I want to remind you, the storms will come. The winds will come. The water will come. But it will not hurt you when you hear the Word of God and when you do the Word of God. For the Word of God is a steady compass that brings you to a blessed destination. Hear the Word. Heavenly Father, teach us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of it as well. That our lives may be built firmly on the word of God. And that it is our joy to live out of that word and to walk in a way worthy of your calling. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake.